Welcome back, guys. My name's Kirk, joined by Vince for another show of Uncomfortable. We are joining you at the, you know, eve of Christmas, we're right around that Christmas time. We're wanting to, you know, have a good conversation about some uncomfortable things regarding Christmas and Christ. You know, guys, just as a friendly reminder, anything that we talk about on these shows is to stir you up to study the Word of God for yourself. We may take a point of view that may not even be what we see as ourselves. You know, we want you to get in the Word, to study the Word, and to begin to understand what the Word of God says and study it for your enrichment so that you're empowered and liberated through the power and knowledge of Christ. You know, Vince, many times when we talk to people in the streets, they think that Jesus was born in the month of December. You know, and many scholars, they have studied it out and they really believe that Jesus was born around mid-summertime, around June, July, if I remember correctly. And how does that play with people's theology? I mean, growing up, we're told that Jesus is in the manger. Everything's cold and snowy in the United States of America, right? Because that's where you and I are at. And we have this painted mural in our head that, you know, it's wintertime and everyone needs hot chocolate and they need to be wrapped up in warm jackets. And Jesus was born in this cold dead of winter. And oh my goodness, woe is me. And then all of a sudden we get into seminary and someone drops a bomb and says, oh, he technically was born in the middle of summertime.
Well, I've actually heard, so I'm going to really throw some more wrenches in the spanner there and say that I've even up to recently have heard people say that there are some that say he potentially could have been born as early as April.
Oh, wow.
There are some that say he could have been born as late as October. So basically what I'm thinking is he was born sometime in that year that he was born. And it could have been warm. It could have been cool. We just don't know.
You know, it's almost like the tribulation argument, right? There's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Everyone wants to try to argue their way and the way they want to see it, you know? It's kind of like
spring, summer, fall, winter.
Yeah, it's like, which way do you want it? Now, the reality is I don't know anyone with the tribulation that wants to go through the tribulation. Who in their right mind wants to go through that? However, if you read it out and study it for yourself, I'm sure you'll come up with what you believe is really what it needs to be. On top of that, there should be a point where you're like, I don't give a rip trip. I just want to get on the bus, right? There's a certain point where you're just like, Lord, I really hope that you come before and, you know, come catch your church away before the tribulation. However, even if we've got to go through it all, I want on that bus.
I'm
going to keep my oil full and my wick trimmed so that I'm ready to catch the bus. And then that should be our focus. It shouldn't be, I get so worked up for, you know, a pre-rapture or a mid-rapture that if it's post, that we get all, woe is me, and come on.
I think the problem that we're coming into, though, is look, I know it's that we are supposed to gather together and we are supposed to break this stuff down and walk through this stuff together, right? In order for us to, for the correction and reproving and teaching of each other, and that we're supposed to dig this stuff out. But here's the thing. I personally feel like, kind of like you would keeping your wick trimmed and the oil in the lamp, is our responsibility is to make sure that we know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We understand that he came
lived
a sinless life. He was born of a virgin, had a sinless life, like I said. He died on a cross for our sins, right? And fulfilled every one of the prophetic words spoken about him concerning that. He was in the tomb for 3 days, rose back up, ascended into heaven, sent his Holy Spirit to us like he said he would, right? So all of those, that's our key. If you were talking about it from a business perspective, that would be your key drivers that drive your business right there. That's the key drivers of the church. It all surrounds Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. Everything else is not as important as that. Not to say that they're not important. So for those scholars out there listening, we're not saying other things are not important, but nothing is more important than that. That's the only way that you get into heaven. It's not through doing anything else that it teaches. It's not even through baptism. It's through the accepting of the free gift of salvation from Christ. That's the number one priority. Outside of that, everything else comes with time and with learning and with understanding. And as far as the tribulation goes, and when it comes time to go, man, I don't personally think it's worth the argument with my brothers and sisters in Christ and causing a rift between ourselves so that we can't join together to expand the kingdom of heaven just because I want to be right, or at least think I'm right. So in order for this to not become a whole nother talk about the tribulation and all that, especially with it being Christmas time, I would like to, if you could, Kirk, reach over and hand me my soapbox real quick. I'm going to step up.
Here you go. Here's that soapbox there, Vince. Send that to you virtually there.
I do have a small bone to pick with Christmas time, especially with believers and non-believers. Of course, they have their own thing, but and their own way of going about it. But,
hold on. Are you telling me you're going to start digging on the Jingle Bell song and you're getting on to people the Christmas tree and stuff? This.
I'm not going to go dig into a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm just going to make it real simple. You know, we have said, and there are many of us in the church that say that this is a Christian holiday, and there's a lot that say it's not a Christian holiday, it's a pagan holiday, and we shouldn't be celebrating it. I'm not even going to talk about the distinction between those two things. I'm going to talk like this. If we have commandeered this time of year to say that it's a time of year of hope, of love, of grace, of preferring your fellow man, then why aren't we doing that? Because I see those same brothers and sisters in Christ in Walmart cutting people off, jumping in their parking spots, like rushing real fast, going in there and cutting people off and buying all this stuff. And it's all just for them or their own selves or to make themselves feel better about what they're going to do because of things that they didn't do during the year that they should have been doing during the year anyway. Jesus isn't the reason.
Man, you're meddling now, buddy.
I really am. Jesus isn't the reason for the season just during Christmas. He's the reason for the season every season of the year, every month of the year, every week of the year. You know what I mean? So it's, you can't act one way the rest of the year and then be like, oh, it's Christmas time. Now I can act this way. All it does is exacerbate what's inside of you when you're put under that kind of pressure. Like, I know personally, Christmas annoys me. I don't like going to the stores, at least the commercialized part of Christmas. It annoys me so bad. I hate going to stores. Even doing regular shopping is annoying at that time of year.
I'm like, oh, dude. Just especially Christmas Eve. Oh, my goodness, dude.
Yeah.
Or, like, we like
sometimes for little things, but
there's another time that annoys me even more than that.
Which one?
And that would be Black Friday.
Oh.
I cannot do Black Friday. There for many years, my wife would go with her father. They would do Black Friday. There is no way on this earth am I waking up that early for I might, maybe, coulda, shoulda get something for a good price.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not going to risk getting shot or stabbed. No. Because somebody wants to get a discount more than me. I mean, it's not worth it for me. I'm more than happy to let somebody else for a discount. Go just, you go do you. I'm good. You know,
I'll spend $100 more to keep my life. I'm good.
And also not to go through that stress. I mean, personally, I have enough stress at work. I don't need the extra stress and drama on Black Friday. I would prefer to sleep in, rest, have a good day off, or if I'm going to work, not be stressed out by the time I get to work. But, you know, flipping back, though, you know, into the holiday thing about Christ, you know, because that's really where we want to keep this, is we want to keep it all about Christ in this conversation. You know, he was born to a virgin. First of all, that is almost, in the world's view, impossible. How in the world was Jesus conceived by a virgin? You know, she had not had sex. Most of us are adults here. You know, she did not, you know, do things that she shouldn't do out of matrimony with Joseph. Joseph was honorable. Holy Spirit said that he would cause her to conceive because of the obedience of faith. You know, so she believed with the word from the angel of God, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and then she conceived Christ. And the interesting thing to me is that instead of her being allowed to go and have a nice hotel room, whatever else, she gets put up in the stable and not even put in with the rest of the people. Now, the question could be is, one, the rooms were actually full, like he said, or it could be number two, which most of us don't want to think this way, but it could be because of the cultural taboo of her being pregnant and not being married, about to give birth. Maybe they ostracized her to the stable, saying they were full because they didn't want her in the inn. And I know that's kind of a controversial way of looking at it, but there's a chance that that could have been the way it was.
Were they betrothed at that time, or were they actually married at that time?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and reread the whole story. I just know that when she conceived, they were not married.
Yeah, that part I knew.
But it's an interesting side note, you know, because people can do the math anyway, right? When they look at it, they can say, what, Joseph? She's already having a baby. You just got married 8 months ago.
Yeah, that don't line up.
You know, it doesn't line up. Your marriage doesn't line up with how quickly the baby's coming. You know, things don't look right. And anyway, so there's cultural possible taboos there. There's other things involved there. And we really need to start investigating things from the eyes of the culture, because many times we'll miss out on things that could possibly be, that could help us in life today if we understood what it was. For example, if Christ, when he was a baby, was basically ostracized to the barn, people who are struggling with their identity because of rejection, because of something in their life, because of their family, because of something that they've done, they can easily say, you know what? Jesus already faced that. He already went through that shame and that humiliation of being rejected by the rest of the world because he was seen as being born out of matrimony. You know, and so it's understanding the cultural norms of the day and understanding the way the Jewish people saw things will drastically change the way you read the Word of God. And we've got to stop looking at things through such a Western mindset. So.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, when the story says that when Joseph found out that she was pregnant, that he was trying to just kind of
says he was trying to brush her off, and then the angel of the Lord came and said,
like, he didn't want to expose her and put her to shame.
Yep.
But he was planning on sending her away and divorcing her, like, quietly, right?
Well, it's not technically a divorce at that point. He was basically trying to say, I'm annulling our engagement. But the way it's written out, it almost tells you that it's like saying in the Jewish culture, once you're engaged, it's almost a legal.
Yeah,
you're being bound. You're being bound for marriage. You're not legally ready to sleep with each other yet. You're not ready to come together in union yet.
But there's no one else that
exactly
comes between the two of you.
At that point, you were set aside for this person. So it wasn't a quick just we're breaking up like it is today. You know how the kids are like, we're going steady, or we're dating, or whatever. No, it was done at that point. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it does say, according to this, it says betrothed So if betrothed actually means married in that sense back then, he found out before. So when he had been betrothed to Joseph, it says in verse 18 of chapter 1 in Matthew, it says they came together. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her promised husband, being a just and righteous man, was not wanting to expose her publicly to shame, but planned to send her away
So
and divorce.
understanding though the Jewish marriage supper and the way that works, we know that
It's a lot
they
different,
weren't
yeah.
married yet. So they had been betrothed as in promised to marry. Because
Right.
the marriage supper, the moment they get done with the supper, they don't even leave the house. They consummate the deed there in a room that the husband built. They're attached to the family home. So basically, he builds a home on his dad's home for him and his wife.
Yeah, that's very, very true. So, but then, as he was going to do that night, he went to bed, and it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Hey, this is me, not Mary. So you need to stick this out." So,
Oh, yeah.
yeah. I mean, that, like you said, sticking to that being the primary focus of this is, this time of year, and especially this past Sunday. Because when this airs, even though we're recording this a little bit before, this is going to air probably on Christmas Eve. So, this past Sunday, everybody sat in church and heard the story. I saw the plays that the church has put on and all of that. And some people will be going to church services tonight for worship or mass or whatever they're going to do. And I would have to go with this is. When you're sitting in the church tonight or in worship or whatever you do as your thing, whether it be in your home, you read the story of the virgin birth all the way through to him being in Bethlehem and being born. Make sure that you actually take that time and honor him, honor the relationship with him. Take some time to say thank you, maybe even have communion and just really honor what he's done in your life and who he is and what he continues to do for us and how much he really just cares and not make it about, I mean, although it's great to get gifts, believe me, I love getting gifts. Everybody does. It's not about that. It's not about how big of a gift you got. It's not about how much money they spent on you or got spent on you and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's about him. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say we don't do gifts. We do. And for us, we don't necessarily, we might do an expensive gift and not necessarily expensive meaning a lot of money, but something that's important for that person. But a lot of times we just do little dollar gifts just for the silliness of opening things up and being having a good time. But we always try to make sure that we honor the Lord. More so on that day, even more so than normal, you know?
You know, Vince, spinning this back to kind of the controversial point, just for fun. You know, there's a lot of people that have started to write some stories and posts about how Christmas is a pagan holiday and that you should even have a tree in your house because around
Yes.
the Germanic,
And Celtic and all that stuff.
Celtic and, you know, basically, the pagan side of the thing, that the tree is a source of worship, and that you're by having the tree in your house that you're worshiping or promoting this, you know, Celtic or pagan religion. And what are your thoughts on that, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, Kirk, I'm so glad you asked. It's rare that I don't ever have a thought on something. Actually, I'll take it a step further. Some also believe that the wreath as well is linked to that stuff. So, a lot of people believe that the reason that we choose the pine trees I know it's a certain time. I don't know. I know it's in the pine family. I'm fairly certain. For Christmas trees is because it's one of the few trees that can still be green in the wintertime, and that has to do with like life and rebirth and all that jazz and some kind of
fertility
pagan stuff
and
like
all that
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, fertility. And not gonna necessarily get into anything really crass or anything, but needless to say that the tree and the wreath sometimes get linked to fertility stuff and all that jazz. And there are those that believe that. There are those that believe that that's hooey and that people are just trying to take Christ out of Christmas kind of stuff. But on that controversial side, I mean, I look at it like this. You have to go with what you feel the Lord is leading you through. And two, you have to look at it and go, okay, I need to look at the word. I need to dig through what this was. And I personally believe that there's a reason that we aren't given the specifics a lot of times on certain things about Christ's life is because we have a tendency as humans to turn it into something to worship.
No, buddy, there's a whole message on that one, it sounds like.
And so, yes, do I think the tree is an idol for us to worship during Christmas time most of the time? Yes, absolutely. If for no other reason, then it's an object that we pour all of our devotion towards, all of our energy towards, and we take it away from focusing on Christ. So, now, is that right? I might think it's right, but somebody else might think it's wrong. And y'all are more than welcome to say that one way or another. I'm not hating on anyone. I'm not judging anyone. But the word is very clear, and it says any single thing, doesn't matter what it is. It's our phones. It's Christmas trees. It's wreaths on the door. It's giving gifts. It's doing all the other drama and trauma and junk that we do on Christmas time. Whatever it is that we focus our attention on that pulls it away from Christ could be classified in the category of an idol.
That would be, yeah, I agree completely. Anything that we put above Christ, in front of him, is an idol. Reading your books, watching TV, listening to music, could be your spouse, could be your children. It should be always God first, then family, and then everything else. You know, we shouldn't be putting work first. We shouldn't be putting our family first. We shouldn't be putting our kids first. Not even our wife, or if you have a husband, your husband. It's God first, always above everything. But then when you put God first, things naturally come in line and in order. Because when you put him first, he will say, hey, Vince, guess what? You might need to adjust this. Or he'll say, hey, Kirk, you need to adjust this over there. Or guess what? If you're praying for yourself and for the betterment of your spouse's relationship with God, God might whisper to your spouse and say, hey, you know this and that. The thing is don't try to manipulate through prayer. Pray for the relationship to get better with the Lord so that everything's good and gold, right? Because the more that we try to pour our opinion and thoughts into the prayer time, the more we're not going to be able to properly align things with the gospel. Now,
hey, Kirk, I would like to tap into one other uncomfortable area before. I know we definitely want to keep this a little shorter being Christmas time,
right?
And all. It is very uncomfortable and it's very unfortunate, but it is a reality for a lot of people. And that is going through this holiday season with people who have lost a loved one.
Oh, that's tough.
You may have just lost a loved one at this point, or it may have been months ago, almost even a year ago, but this is your first holiday without that person, or it could be your first or 10th one, and you're just having a hard time this year. You know, listen, we understand that. We've been through that, and I personally have been through it many, many, many years in a row, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's for sure.
And so And you know, we're facing it yet again. And it's never fun. It's never joyous on that aspect. But I'll say this, if that person was here, if they had something to tell you about that, they would tell you to still find joy. I know if you really truly see Jesus as the reason for the season, you would seek him to have the joy that he has and that he wants to give you. Because I know it's hard, and you can be really down, especially at this time of year. But surround yourself with loved ones that are still here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell stories about the person that's gone. Tell all the silly stuff, the stupid stuff, the remember when they did this, and laugh until you cry and then cry until you laugh, and just go through it. It's okay. Especially if this is inside that first year, man, and it's the first holiday without them, it's okay. The Bible says there's a season to mourn. There's a season for joy and laughter. And if you're still inside that first year, especially now, I know it's different for everybody, but especially if you're inside that first year, you might still be in that season, and that's okay. But seek out those people that you love and care for, and that love and care for you, and don't be alone. Spend time with them, right? Go do something fun. Do something that you've always wanted to do if you couldn't do it. So, you know what I mean? At least that's
yeah, come on. I mean, there's another thing I think we need to point out as well, is don't bury yourself in misery.
Amen.
Find those who have already overcome this. There's a lot of people out there. Vince is one of them. I know, but like I've had grandparents and family members that have lost their loved ones. And the reality is you've got to look at it and say, okay, what do I do to make sure that I don't fall into a depression? Or what do I do to make sure that I don't allow sorrow to overwhelm my heart? Surround yourself with people you love. If you don't have like loved ones still here, I mean, if they've already graduated and gone on to be with the Lord, there are other people. That's why the Lord tells us that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, mothers and fathers in Christ. Find other believers and go fellowship with them, that you can be loved on, that you can not be alone. I mean, I know my family's invited people over at different times in our life to have Christmas or Thanksgiving with us when we knew they had no family with them in the area. And we've had people do the same for us when we were in an area and we had no family. It is incredibly important, and it's this huge, huge blessing when you can pour into somebody else, love on them in a season when they're alone. You know, and I would encourage you, think about your brothers, think about your sisters in Christ, love on them, you know, pour into them, be there for them, you know, in that season of joy and giving.
That's a great point, Kurt.
Yeah, it's something that's huge. I mean, I remember when I went to Christ for the Nations, and it was my first, I think it was Thanksgiving, without my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, of course, you know me, I hung out with a lot of the Hispanics. And one of my Hispanic friends was like, hey, we're having a huge Thanksgiving get-together. Do you want to come out with us? I'm like, absolutely, let's go. And I don't remember what I brought because I didn't cook much and I had no kitchen. But I think, I don't know if it was like chips or drinks or what, but I brought something. And
usually the guys were supposed to bring a 2 liter of soda.
So that's probably what it was. But one of my buddies, he was from Puerto Rico. And he hung out with this married couple a lot. And he had made a turkey, dude. And he had some spices and stuff injected into this thing. It was one of the best turkeys I've ever had in my life. And he had like a Puerto Rican style picadillo type of thing. And it was very different than like what my wife cooks, but it was really, really good. And I'm like, man, this is great food and this is great fellowship. And I'm not alone on the holiday. So I remember how much it meant to me.
So no, I remember a Christmas and Thanksgiving like that. I spent with a lady from my church. I hadn't been up in Wisconsin very long. And she pretty much was to herself. But during the holiday, she would always make food for some of us singles, right? And we came to know her as, we called her by her name, and we said Mama so-and-so. And she became like our mamas, there at the church, and it was such a great time. We hung out together, and we had that good time. And I asked her one year, I said, what made you decide to do this? And she said, well, I know I have this gift. I'm pretty good at cooking. She went like bragging. She's like, I love to cook. That's how one of the ways I show love is I cook. And a lot of times you guys can't get home and can't get to where you need to be for a holiday. And so it provides a place that feels like home. You feel loved and cared for, and you get a meal that fills you up until you're ready to pass out.
Oh my.
Which is,
Was she an Italian or an Hispanic mama?
she was actually, no, you know what, she was a German lady. She was up
Well,
north,
I've
but
heard that they can be just as bad.
she kind of, I don't know if she was raised around some of the Latino people, because she was like, are you still hungry? I'm full. No, you're still hungry. Here, eat
You
some
need more. Come
more.
on. Yeah, come on. Eat more. That was my grandmother, too. You know, kind of eat more, eat more. I was like, you're going to make me puke, Granny.
Yeah.
I got to stop here.
Yeah. My wife's mother was that way. She, when we, I would come in just having eaten dinner. Are you hungry? No, ma'am, I'm good. Yeah, here, have a plate. She'd pile me on a plate, and I'd eat it because I didn't. You grow up in the South, and they teach you that you don't be rude.
Well,
And I'd
anything on
eat
that
the
plate better
thing.
be eaten. That's the way I was raised.
Oh man, I would eat until my eyes were gonna bug out. And she's like, "Are you still hungry?" No, ma'am, I'm good. Here, have one more. Oh, I'm gonna explode.
My.
She's an amazing lady.
Well, that's one of the wonderful things about the holidays is all the food. But one of the controversial things is if you're not careful, you can give in to the sin of gluttony.
Oh yeah,
It's
there.
very, very easy. And I can tell you there's been once or twice I've had to repent and say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. I ate too much
Right.
bread or too much this or too much of that.
Man, at least once or twice per that day of eating do I have
That's
to
it.
repent?
Hey, as we wrap this up, guys, we want to encourage you to, love on your neighbor, love on
Yep.
your family members, call your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your uncle, your aunt,
Even the one you're mad at.
even the one that you're mad at, bless them in the name of the Lord. And I don't mean bless them out. I mean, bless them. And,
Yeah.
encourage them. And I would even say pray for them, pray over them, declare blessings over your family. And make sure that in everything that you're putting your hands to, that you are bringing praise and honor to God and setting yourself up for this next season that we're about to walk into. No matter what happens, God is in control. He has
Nothing.
everything under control, and he's there right there with you.
So can I share a short prayer real quick over
Sure.
everybody else, and we can go ahead and head out. So we just bless you all in the name of Jesus. We pray that this day is a day full of even small miracles, small things as in being able to speak to someone you haven't been able to speak to in a while, letting their hearts be open. And Father, we just pray that their lives, their homes, and whatever they're doing and their hands are set to, that they experience the joy of the Lord as their strength, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Father, that you would wrap your loving arms around each and every person in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen, brother. That's a great prayer. Well, guys, we want to invite you to go to the website and give us some feedback. Go to mooseministries.org, go to the contact page, or just email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have any disagreements that you had to, with some of Vince's comments, let him know there. And you can also let us know if there's any show requests or ideas, topics you'd like us to discuss. If you would also like to support the show, you can also go to the Give page as well. Guys, God bless you. We pray that you have a wonderful, blessed, and safe holiday. God bless you. Talk to you next time.
See you next time.